So that's the first established fact that we see here, is that God is eternal and has always been. In the beginning, what? God. What does that tell us? What does that phrase, the very first verse in our Bible, what is that phrase tell us? In the beginning, God. That means before the beginning was, God was. Okay? God had to be there for there to be a beginning to this earth. To anything that he did, he had to pre-exist all of that. We understand that because the very first verse of Scripture says, in the beginning, God, he was already there. He was already working. He was already moving. And we know that by verse number 2 that said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So the first established fact we need to know, if we're going to understand this Christ in us, is that he's always been. God is eternal. As we look in the next part of this, it says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. What is John telling us here? John's telling us this same God that was in the beginning, this same God that has always been, this same God that is eternal, we've seen. We've seen with our eyes. We've heard with our ears. Our hands have touched him. And he's establishing this fact that Jesus Christ is indeed God. Now we know this because the Bible tells us this, but what is John primarily written to? 1 John, all 5 chapters. Who is it primarily written to? Believers. What does 1 John 5 say? I write these things unto you that ye may know, that we may understand. We understand that he's writing to believers. Now, he's not writing to believers to try to get them saved. They already are. So why is he trying to establish this fact of God in these first few verses? Why is he taking the time to say, hey, you've been saved by the grace of God, but you need to understand that there's more to it. You need to understand that you're not just saved from hell, but we're saved to eternity with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, according to Romans chapter 8. So with all of that, John is trying to establish some facts. Why do we need to have some facts established? Because we need to know what we believe. We need to understand. If someone was to ask you, what does it mean to be saved? Could you give them an answer? Could you give them an answer? Well, you can say, well, yeah, I just bowed my knee and asked Jesus to save me. Well, what does that mean to a lost person? How do you help them understand what it is to be saved? John is establishing some facts here so that we can be able not only to know what we believe, but to be able to share that with a lost and a dying world. We've established that God is eternal. Absolutely. We've established that Jesus Christ became flesh, just like he said in John chapter 1 and verse number 14, that God became flesh. It was not 50% man and 50% God, okay? It was 100% man, 100% God. God wrapped in a robe of flesh, born of a virgin, and dwelt among men on this earth. And John is telling us here, hey, we've seen him with our own eyes. We've heard his words. We've handled him. We've touched him. But notice that he doesn't just stop there. Because if we're not careful, we'll get this idea. Okay, well, John, you saw him, you heard him, you touched him, but I haven't. Not physically. I've never physically seen Jesus. I've never audibly heard his voice. I have never touched him with my hands. But what does the Bible tell us about how the just shall live? By what? Faith. And as we continue through these, hopefully you'll understand that John is describing his experience, but he's doing it to establish some facts for you and for me. Look at verse number 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. What life was manifested? The life of Jesus Christ. He was manifested in flesh, the Bible tells us. Notice, and bear witness. We know that it happened. We are witnesses of what took place. And show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. John's saying that eternal life that is Jesus Christ, God in the beginning, the eternal self-existent one, was manifested in flesh. We've seen it. We show it and declare it unto you. These are some established facts. And John's doing this so that when we, remember, he's writing this whole chapter to believers. We need to know these things. Why do we need to know these things? Because when we tell a lost person, when we tell somebody who maybe has never set foot inside of a church, they don't know anything about the Word of God. They don't know the basic truths of the Bible that we know. How are we going to explain to them? Well, we need to have and understand and know these established facts. Verse number 3 tells us something different. Verse number 3 tells us not only are there some established facts. Remember, what we're looking at is a fivefold declaration of Christ in us. Established facts. Also, we see there's some enjoyed fellowship. Aren't you glad that this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ is not just a something we see on paper? It's not just the Word of God that we have on paper, but it's the Word of God that dwells within us. It's fellowship. See, God isn't just sitting way off somewhere in the far existent reaches of space and has nothing to do with this world. He dwells in me. We enjoy fellowship with him. And this is what John's going to tell us. Look in verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John is saying in these verses of Scripture, we may not have seen him with our eyes, physically. We may not have heard his voice with our ears or touched his body in this world. But we can have the same fellowship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. Notice he said here that we, ye also, may have fellowship with us. Well, now John's writing to people who didn't see him, who didn't hear him. But John's saying, hey, we're declaring him unto you that you can have fellowship with us. Well, folks, when we tell somebody about Jesus Christ, when we give them the gospel and we help them to understand that Jesus is Savior and Lord and that they can know him as well, what are we doing? We are declaring unto them what we know, that if they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they may have what? Fellowship with us. That's what John's trying to help us understand here, is that there is a fellowship to be enjoyed. That's the reason he's declaring these things to us. That's the reason we declare these things to a lost and dying world, is that there may be a fellowship enjoyed. Notice what he said, verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. Well, that takes me all the way back to John 15. John 15, where it tells us about I am the vine, ye are the branches. And we go through that whole chapter, the first 10 or 11 verses, talking about the vine and the branches and how we need to abide in him and he abides in us. And he tells us in verse number 11 that he writes these things unto us that our joy may be full. And here we understand that John's doing the same thing again. He's saying, look, we're declaring these facts. We're showing you this fellowship that your joy may be full. There is an absolute, I can't really put it into words, can't really describe to you what it means. Has anybody ever been in a service? Or maybe you had an opportunity to help or maybe you got the opportunity to lead someone to Christ. Anybody ever been in a service where somebody was saved? Many of you have. Anybody ever had an opportunity to actually tell somebody about Jesus and see that person get saved? Can you describe that feeling? You can't put it into words. Yeah, all you say is glory. Amen. How, you can't even put it into words. And John is saying here that this fellowship, it brings us joy like no other. Not only the fellowship that we have, but when we see someone come to know Jesus as their Savior, when we see someone accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and know that now that is a brother or a sister in Christ, that is a fellowship now enjoyed. Right. How is that fellowship enjoyed? Because these things have been declared unto them. And it's not only that. He said in verse number 3, all these things which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Ye that are already saved, ye that though you did not see him, though you did not hear him, though you did not touch him with your hands, you can have fellowship with us. How can we have fellowship with them? The Bible tells us through the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we have this fellowship. John and the apostles and others saw, heard, touched Jesus. We have not. But yet we have the same fellowship. Why? Because our fellowship is through faith. And we'll get to this a little further on as we go. Let me give you something else here. Look in verse number 4. I already skipped ahead a little bit. But the next thing we see is not only established facts and enjoyed fellowships, but an experience in fullness. And it tells us in verse number 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Folks, what John is trying to do here is help us understand that this joy that we have in knowing the established facts that God has given us through His Word is a joy of fullness. In other words, it's not just a fleeting fancy. It's not just something that we can get excited for a little bit and then be down and depressed. No, it is a full joy. Well, how is it a full joy? Because of the facts. It's not just something that we think or we want or we desire, but it is an established fact that these things are in us. These things, what things? The things that John has seen, heard, and declared unto us. Well, what are those things? That Christ is eternal. That Christ came to earth, that all the things that were said about him are absolutely true. How do you know they're true, John? Because we saw them. We heard it. We know that it's true. And we believe, us who have not seen, not heard, we believe by faith. We have the Word of God that shows us, tells us, declares unto us Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as we read, as we study, as we learn about Him, as He is declared unto us from the Word of God, we can experience this fullness of joy. Folks, aren't you glad that being saved is not something we have to endure? I'm not enduring salvation this morning. Know what I'm doing? I'm enjoying salvation. It's good to be saved. It's good to know that Jesus Christ lives within my soul. And this is what John is writing to these people saying, hey, we're telling you all of this that your joy may be full. We want you to know that Jesus, the God that is eternal, the God that came to earth, the God that dwelled in flesh, guess what? He dwells in you as well. And you can have fellowship with Him. How else could our joy be full? In no other way but knowing that Jesus Christ lives within our soul and desires fellowship. He desires fellowship. Notice even further. We're going to see here in number 4. Let's look at verse number 5, then we'll continue on. Verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. John is saying we've heard the message. We understand and we're declaring it unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The Bible tells us that we are the light of the world. And the whole reason that we are the light of the world is because the light, which is God, dwells within us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And what's our purpose as being the light of the world? Our purpose is to show forth the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that. We know that our whole goal on this earth, Brother Allen said it wonderfully this morning, is that others may see Jesus, others may see us glorifying him, others may see him and not us. Right. I tell you what, if they see me, they're going to be sadly disappointed. Right. Sadly disappointed. Right. But the whole goal is for us to show forth him. And he's telling us here, this is the message. We've received it, and now we're telling you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Look at verse number 6. Now, verse number 6, we're going to start seeing something that we need to be very careful of. We're going to see an exposed fallacy. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. When John has spent some time declaring these facts, he spent some time helping us to understand that we can enjoy the same fellowship that they enjoyed with Jesus Christ. We can enjoy that same fellowship. He's also helped us understand that because that we're saved by the grace of God, because he lives within us, because we now know the truth, we need to be very careful. Well, what do we need to be very careful of? We need to be careful of what we're showing to a lost and dying world. Now, we have an opportunity to give them the same declaration that John gave to us. But it says this, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, I underline this phrase, we lie and do not the truth. Folks, for us to come into the house of God on Sunday and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and then to go out on Monday and throughout the rest of the week, live just like we want to live, live in the darkness of our sin or whatever, is lying not only to God but to ourselves. And there's a warning given here. All of this is in one chapter. I mean, we may make it through the whole chapter. I don't know. Sometimes I get started and don't want to stop. But the idea is that we see here there is a warning. Do you know Jesus Christ this morning as your Savior? Most people in here would shake your head and you would say, yes, I do. Are you enjoying the fact that he lives within your soul and the fellowship that you have with him? Is your joy full this morning because Jesus is your Savior and Lord? Who sees it? Do the folks in the church around you see your joy? Do they see the fellowship that you have with the Lord? Say, well, yeah, they do. You can ask around. Yeah, everybody knows. Well, what about folks on the job? What about folks that you run into? Anybody go to Walmart on a regular basis? I mean, or you like me and just very random. Some people go to Walmart and they go like the same time every week. I mean, they've got, you know, it's because I get off work on Friday and I, you know, such and such time, whatever. If you go to Walmart on Friday afternoon, God bless you. Whew, gracious alive. I went this past Friday afternoon. I thought I was going to get run over by some little granny ladies pushing those carts. I mean, whew, it's like trying to be at NASCAR or something, trying not to get run over. It's like trying to walk around a NASCAR track and not get run over. I mean, there were people everywhere. But the idea with that is, can they look at you and say, something different about that fella. Something different about that lady. People that you see on a regular basis. Some of us go in the same gas stations every day. Some of us go eat at the same places every day. Some of us do routines that run us into the same people on a daily basis. Do those people know you're saved? Do they know that you're a Christian? Do they see Jesus in you? Or do they see somebody that's just like them? And you say, preacher, I thought this was Sunday school. I didn't know this was preaching. Well, it's the Word of God. Yeah. If it fits, wear it. If it don't, pass it on back. But I'm pretty sure this would fit some of us, or actually all of us, to some degree. Let's put it that way. All of us to some degree. But folks, the Bible is very clear. John is very clear. He said, if you say, okay, if you're going to tell somebody about Jesus, or if you're going to tell somebody, hey, don't you know Jesus loves you? Or if you're going to tell somebody that Jesus loves your soul and wants you to be saved, and then you live the exact opposite of what you just told them, the Bible said, I didn't say, the Bible said we lie and do not the truth. Folks, if we say we have fellowship with him, that's more than just being two fellows in a ship, okay? Fellowship is walking together. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Folks, if we're going to say, I have fellowship with Jesus, you know what that means? That means he's having fellowship with you. And if you have fellowship one with another, guess what that means? That means you're both going in the same direction. That means you're both looking for the same thing. That means you're both acting toward the same goal. That's what fellowship is. You both have, like we see in Acts chapter 2, how they were of the same heart, how they were of the same mind, how they were of one heart and one mind. That's what fellowship is. And if we're going to tell people that, yes, I have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and then live opposite of that, the Bible says we lie. What a warning. But now look at verse number 7. Verse number 7 is the help of that warning, the fulfillment of that warning. Look at what it says. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now that is a wonderful verse of scripture when we understand the meaning of it. Some people look at this as a conditional verse of scripture. They say, if we walk in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Who is John writing to? Believers. So he's not writing to you saying, if you walk in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He's given us the warning. The warning is if we say. But the warning here, look at what it says. And notice John, I'm so thankful that John put personal possessive pronouns in this chapter. Notice in verse number 7, or let's look at verse number 6, in the warning, John said, but if we. Aren't you glad John put himself in there? Because see, some of us look at the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints and they say, well, we'll never attain. There's no way that we'll ever be John. There's no way that we'll ever be Paul. There's no way that we'll ever be, because they just had something special. John said, here if we.
Right.
What John was saying is, I have the same opportunity to fail that anybody else does.
Right.
Whew. That's a comfort to my soul.
Right.
But he said here, if we walk in the light. Let me give you this, not trying to hurt the Word of God, not trying to change the Word of God, but notice what it says. He says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, we understand that when we get saved by the grace of God, that salvation is eternal. It's forever. It is complete. There's nothing else that needs to be done. Because I'm saved by the grace of God, I'm going to live in heaven one day when I die. But guess what? So let me give you this. My relationship, would you say, my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is secure. But what about my fellowship? Now think about this. When I married my wife, I said, I do. And I did. And we're still married. And we'll be married till one of us dies. But think about this. That marriage vow is permanent. My relationship with my wife is secure. But my fellowship isn't always. Come on now, be real with me. I heard one time a man and his wife had a big argument one day. And they went to bed kind of mad. Got up next morning and she had already left and he was getting ready to leave and he found on the counter in the kitchen a note. The note said, I hate you, love me. Now is that not a paradox in terms? My wife has told me several times, she said, I love you, but I don't like you very much. The relationship is secure. Oh, but the fellowship, that sometimes is conditional. John is not saying that there's anything wrong with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's saying our fellowship needs to be watched carefully. Verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Does that mean we lose our salvation? Of course not. What does that mean? That means we need to be real careful or we're going to lose our fellowship. If we ever get to a point, my papa used to say, to be too big for our britches. We get the idea that, well, I'm no longer tempted with sin. Well, come talk to me. Let me help you understand that you're not too big to be tempted with sin. I mean, we know he was absolutely perfect. We know he lived a sinless, spotless, perfect life. He is the Lamb of God, born of a virgin. He had God's blood in him, not man's blood. But was not Jesus tempted? Matthew 4 tells us Jesus was tempted of the devil.
Right.
Well, if Jesus is tempted of the devil, guess what? You're going to be too.
Right.
None of us are greater than our Lord. We all right. going to be tempted.
Right.
So, if we say that we have no sin, well, guess what? We can't say that we have no sin. Why? Because we're still living in a sinful body.
Right.
When you start off, well, let's use baking a cake, for example. You bake a cake, you got good flour you just bought. You've got sugar, you got butter, you got all the other things that you need. But you've got some eggs that you're a little iffy about. They've been in the refrigerator for a while. You don't put them in the water and check to see if they float or sink. Anybody know that story? You know how you check, see if an egg is good? Okay. Good, I'm glad I'm not the only one. But you didn't do that. Well, guess what? It don't matter how good the butter is, don't matter how good the sugar is, don't matter how good the flour is, doesn't matter how good all of the other ingredients are. You put bad eggs in there, guess what? You got a bad cake. Well, guess what? The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. Guess what? Those of us that are saved by the grace of God, we're just saved sinners. And we still have the sinful nature. It's still with us. If you don't believe it's with us, drive 465 at about 7 o'clock in the morning. Exactly. You'll find out real quick that you still have a flesh. The Bible said if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Verse number 9, probably one of the most quoted verses of Scripture in the Word of God for believers outside of John 3:16. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that talking about salvation? No. But what is it talking about? A restoration of fellowship. That's how our fellowship is restored. The old timers used to say, keep short accounts with God. In other words, don't just let sin build, because we're flesh. We're going to fail, we're going to falter. But guess what? We don't have to stay there. We can confess our sin. What does this confession do? It restores fellowship. Relationship is still good. We're just restoring fellowship. This, we've seen an established fact, an enjoyed fellowship, an experience in fullness. Here we've seen this exposed fallacy of thinking that we have no sin or that we can do whatever we want or live however we want. That is a fallacy. That's a falsehood. But lastly, we see an embracing of forgiveness. And that's in verse number 9. Folks, Jesus, the Bible says, if we do what? Confess our sin, comma. You know what that comma does? That comma changes the thought. It moves to a different area. What that's showing us is that first phrase has to deal with us. If we confess our sin, then what? Then what? He. Notice the very next verse. Very next word after the comma is what? He. So if our responsibility is to confess our sins, what did He say He would do? Forgive us and cleanse us. Folks, it's not our job to try to get to a point where we can handle our sin. Because you're never going to get to a point where you can handle your sin. Understand this, sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. You're never going to get to a point where you can handle it. God said, if we confess, the Bible tells us here through the Apostle John, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, if we confess our sins, that's our job. What's our job? Is to say, Lord, it's me, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, I'm confessing my sin to you. Well, that's the end of your responsibility, is to confess. You know, the first thing they tell addicts of different things, and we won't go into one any particular, but they tell addicts of different things, the first thing you have to realize and accept is that you have a problem. And until you accept and realize you have a problem, you can't get any help. Well, what is our doing in confessing our sin? Realizing we got a problem. But then Jesus said, I'll take it from there. Well, I felt a little something right there. He said, I'll take it from there. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse number 10 gives us the finalization of this chapter. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Folks, that is John reiterating the warning. The warning was back up in verse number 8 where he said, we deceive ourselves if we say that we have no sin. And in verse number 10, he's saying, hey, just so you know, just so you understand, if we say that we have not sinned, we make who a liar? God. Why? Because God said, for all have sinned. So we can't say that we don't have any sin. John's trying to help us understand, you need to realize, even though you're saved, even though you're going to heaven, even though you enjoy fellowship, even though you have these established facts, even though you're rooted and grounded in faith, even though you know that you know that you know if you died today, you're going to heaven to be with Jesus eternally. Folks, we need to be very careful because we're still in this flesh. And if we say that we have not sinned, that we have no sin, we not only deceive ourselves, but we make him a liar. But if we confess our sin, confess. He said, I'll take it from there. I'll restore that fellowship. This is the fivefold declaration of Christ in us. Let's bow our heads and pray. We'll be dismissed from Sunday school. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, we ask you to help us as we've looked at these truths.